This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March the 16th, 2006. I'm Tom Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services. He's out of Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market today with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, that mad cow in Alabama is digging up more than a little BSE. A debate on how to best determine its age is raging, too. USDA is defending its plan to reduce the number of cattle tested for the disease annually, and the Canadian government continues to say the U.S. dumps corn on the international market. Every bushel that crosses the northern border of the states into Canada is now assessed a $1.65 tariff. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau on how agriculture is like basketball. It all happens on this Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. May wheat at 352¾, off 9¼ for the day. July contract at 364¾, down 8¾. May wheat in Kansas City, off 7½ cents at $4.13¾ for the day. From Chicago's corn pit, the May contract at 224½, down 4¾. July off 4½ today at 235. September futures at 244¼, down 4. And December contract at 255¾. They were off 3½ for the day. Soy complex now, May beans, 576¼, down 8 cents. July, down 7½ at 588¼, and the August contract at 594, down 6½. No beans, down 6¼ at 604½. May bean meal, 173.10, down 190. May bean oil at 23.43, down 12. Mercantile exchange numbers, feeder cattle were up 92½ cents in the nearby March contract. They finished at $104.80. And the April lean cattle, or live cattle rather, at $83.42½, were up 42½. Now the leans, that's hogs, 58.42½, they were up 27½ for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace. What'd you make of the trade today?
Well, wheat's the leader. Wheat led the market up through the winter months, and now with at least improved chances of rain or pretty good chances of rain to dress up the winter wheat crops, wheat has turned down, and that is probably the key negative in corn. And if you got wheat and corn going down, it's kind of hard to find a reason why beans would want to rally against that. So I think beans kind of got wrapped up in that downward drift of wheat.
And so wheat off what in the nearby contract about 40 cents in the last 4 days, is that right?
It's off significantly. I don't have a penny.
Yeah, it was up around. I think that's pretty close. Up around 390 on Friday of last week, I think, and finished down what in that 348, 350 area today. So, it's a pretty sharp drop. You expect that the corn and the beans will continue to follow, or will they break away and one of those take the lead?
Oh, yes. The old saying, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And if it's still wheat is the key here. I think if corn is going to kind of regather its composure and try to rally, wheat's going to have to show corn how to do that. Now, I think, you know, we've had a pretty good hit here in wheat. One would probably argue that it's maybe ripe for a period of consolidation, and then we kind of go from there to see whether or not wheat can take another run to the upside. And that all pretty well depends upon probably the weather pattern and whether or not rain gets into the southern plains, and then everybody will be watching weekly crop rating levels to see if they've stabilized or begin to show improvement.
And what are you hearing as you talk to meteorologists about the longer-term weather pattern?
Well, I just kind of look out my window, Todd, and I mean, we do have a much more active pattern in place here. It started here first part of March, and I guess until that changes to something less active, you have to say that we're in a more normal or type where at least we've got better chances of rain. And I think that's been a major trend shift that's happened here, and the commodity markets are reacting to that.
I have to ask you, and you said this would come back to bite you. You probably didn't figure it'd come back this fast, but still thinking about a three in front of corn?
Well, I don't necessarily said there was going to be a three, Todd.
I think
you teed that one up. can you visualize one, or if the fundamentals would come in place? And I said you could probably put a three on corn. And, you know, you can't rule anything out. But the way the market is acting, I think one has to be braced for some pretty good bearishness. That doesn't necessarily mean it will play out, but I've got some work in here that kind of indicates that we could go into a major summer low, and then we pull out of a major summer low.
Oh, that's interesting, because I know you told us last week, while I asked that, and you were talking about visualizing that one, and I asked it in the form that allowed you to tell us that. You also, in the same breath, I do recall telling us that you had some work at that point that was still telling you that we had some lows to go through. And I think we were talking in the short term, prior to planning. Are we still, where do we set on the 10-week cycle, by the way?
Well, corn follows a couple different patterns, and the most recent pattern has kind of been following more of a 7-week pattern from low to low, and you got about 3/7 to make up a 20. Other times, it's mostly the 20-week cycle that you watch, and then the 20-week can also be made up of a couple 10s. We are in a window here that you could probably argue we could be making a 7-week low, but if we're going to do that, corn needs to find a way to turn around and erase this week's losses very quickly, or at least make a big step toward that, and we only got one day left. Now, I guess I've been around the markets long enough that there's you got to give it a little more room, but corn definitely needs to turn up in here real quickly here tomorrow or early next week, or otherwise I think what will happen is that 7-week pattern then will stretch on out to make a 10-week, and then that basically says that the market's going to drift down into a late March low.
Expecting farmers then to just step to the sidelines at this point and wait it out?
Well, it depends. I suppose farmers, they've pretty well made up their mind what they're going to do, I think, regardless of what anybody tells them. At this point, if they're holding a large unpriced inventory of corn and soybeans at this point, they are looking for something to come along to bail them out sometime in May and June, and that may very well be. It's kind of hard to visualize something than that unless you want to play, an extreme weather pattern of some kind, and there's always room for that. We're definitely in a time window where we have seen a lot of extreme things happen to us.
You know, when we talk on the air with the analyst, we often in the last several weeks talked about being 20-30% priced and having most of last year's crop gone. But do you think there might be a lot more corn left out there in the bin from last year than what we're really looking at from, my farmers have this much gone, 75-80%, but might there be a lot more corn left out there than we're really thinking about in terms of our analysts?
I don't know. I do think there's a lot of inventory around, but that depends upon regions. The supply, the balance sheets tell you that there's a lot of corn around, so somebody's got it. There is no doubt we're vulnerable to a Niagara Falls fall, sometime here this summer, if the growing, if the early part of the growing season is off to a good start, and there's no major shakeups in planting, acreage levels, and everything looks real good, I think basis levels could get sloppier than what they were during Katrina, and it could be a pretty bearish situation. But a lot of that depends upon how that early part of the planting season goes. I mean, but if everything goes real well, I think there's a potential here for a pretty big decline.
Well, on that happy note, I need to let you go for the day, I suppose. Thanks for joining us.
Well, you want that bearish news all the time, Todd. You're always bearish. So
I am not always bearish. I try not to take a place in the marketplace at all. I'm just asking questions. Last week the rain was coming in, and that was bullish for us. So.
Well, I say it was bullish if it continued to keep raining, but you told me the wrong weather forecast. Your weather guys were wrong. We didn't get that much rain.
Okay.
Those flash floods didn't materialize.
Hey, I'll let you go. We'll talk to you again in a week and see which direction we're headed, okay?
Okay, Todd.
Thanks much. Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Reports. Oh, that happens on Thursday afternoons. And you can listen to him again if you'd like to on WILLAG.org.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, ag meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us for a look at the ag weather. AM580's own Ed Mike Sola forecast for tonight calls for mostly cloudy skies, some areas of snow with flurries in the north, rain changing to light snow, flurries in the central section, some rain showers in the south. Lows will range from around 20 in northern Illinois to 37 in the south.
In agricultural news, Alabama state agriculture officials say they will unearth the carcass of an Alabama cow that contracted mad cow disease in the hopes of better determining the animal's age. APHIS Director Ron DeHaven said yesterday that dental exams are not very accurate in determining a cow's age. Alabama state officials hope collecting additional tissue samples will confirm the age of the animal, a point DeHaven disputes is even possible. DeHaven says there are no ways other than looking at teeth to determine the age of a cow. The veterinarian that attended the animal estimated its age at 10 years based on examination of the cow's teeth. DeHaven says that estimate could be off by as much as 2 years. The admission is critical because it was 9 years ago that the U.S. issued feed safeguards to protect against mad cow disease. Some Alabama state officials are hoping to find an ear tag on the dug-up cow. And Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is saying this latest case of BSE means there are only two options for implementing a national animal ID system.
We have several organizations that are pushing animal ID. We have the Agriculture Department working with those organizations, but that's no sure certain that we're going to have every animal ID'd. And so when are we going to get that done? And it's only going to get done one of two ways. Either you have to have somebody in the U.S. Department of Agriculture with guts enough to make a decision we're moving forward, or else Congress is going to have to act.
Meanwhile, USDA officials yesterday defended plans to reduce the number of cattle tested for BSE. Since June of 2004, USDA has tested 652,000 high-risk cattle and about 21,000 normal cattle and found two cases of BSE. The Canadian Border Services Agency issued a final determination yesterday that will keep a provisional duty of $1.65 a bushel on all imports of U.S. grain corn into Canada. The decision comes in response to allegations that U.S. dumping and subsidizing of grain corn harms Canadian producers and reaffirms the preliminary determination of dumping and subsidizing made last December. Doug Eady is president of the Ontario Corn Producers Association.
It just confirmed what we, the case we've been making all along, that they're both the anti-dumping and countervailing duties that were imposed on December 15th have held up under scrutiny.
The duty will continue to be imposed on imports of the subject goods until the Canadian International Trade Tribunal concludes its inquiry regarding injury to Canadian production. The tribunal's public hearings will begin in Ottawa on March 20th, and they will make a decision by April 18th. The chairman and ranking Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee have introduced legislation that would extend the clean energy incentives in the 2005 energy bill by 1 to 3 years. Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley and ranking Democrat Max Baucus say current legislation caps some incentives too quickly and does not provide enough money for others. American Farm Bureau Federation tax specialist Pat Wolf says tax credits for biodiesel, ethanol research, and alternative fuel pumps all need to be extended.
All of the tax incentives from last year's bill, though, had expiration dates, and some of them weren't that far in the future. So there was a question as to whether or not companies were able to invest money for these important, to develop these important uses for renewable fuels if they were going to expire soon.
Baucus says extending the tax incentives will help until research provides more dramatic breakthroughs for U.S. energy independence. The House Appropriations Committee has rejected a disaster assistance amendment offered by Arkansas Democrat Marion Barry. The amendment to a $92.2 billion emergency spending bill would have provided $3.4 billion in disaster assistance for those farmers impacted by hurricanes, droughts, and other weather disasters in 2005. A few dozen experts gathered in Springfield this week to talk about a potential threat to Illinois farms during the annual meeting of the state's Soybean Rust Task Force. Plant pathologists, agronomists, and others talked about plans to combat the disease should it become a problem in 2006. Jim Larkin is with the State Department of Agriculture. He says field plots will play a big role in rust detection and monitoring this growing season.
Well, we're just making sure that the sentinel plots are set up like they were last year. There were 40 sentinel plots in the state last year, and it looks like there'll be the same number this year. And we want to make sure that the people are scouting them when they should be and getting the information together and so we can send the information to the United States Department of Agriculture website.
Larkin says the plots will also be used to detect spider mites and aphids. The new president of Southern Illinois University met with County Farm Bureau presidents in Bloomington on Wednesday. Glenn Pichard says a lack of overall funding could hurt rural Illinois.
I think there's going to be more and more pressure in the future on colleges of agriculture as well as business and others to go to that private sector and find the funds for scholarships, for research, and these sort of things.
According to Pichard, the problem isn't isolated to just SIU, but is seen at public universities across the country. And in cases where private funding is not available, Pichard paints a bleak picture for the future.
If you can't go to the private sector for a certain amount of funding, you don't have the reliability of either the state or the federal government backing up those research needs to the point that we should expect.
Pichard says it's a flawed system for agricultural colleges to depend on big business dollars to help pay for education. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. By the way, our guest this weekend for that program will be U of I Extension's Daryl Good. Be sure to tune in Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m., or you can always pick it up off our website after 5 o'clock, or rather 6 o'clock on Friday evenings. The address, WILLAG.org. Well, in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Karen Hertz of the Champaign County Farm Bureau says agriculture and basketball are related.
The brackets are out and the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments are beginning. But have you ever thought about what goes into a basketball game, besides, of course, the players, coaches, and fans? Next week, March 19th through 25th, is National Agriculture Week. And during that time, we want to remind you that agriculture is more than farming. It's basketball, too. We often think of agriculture as the food we eat, but agriculture is a team player. The plants and animals grown on Illinois farms can be found in every aspect of basketball. One of the most obvious examples is the basketball itself. It's made with leather. According to Wilson Sporting Goods, 11 basketballs can be made with a single cowhide. There are also less apparent ways that agriculture gets into the game. From tennis shoes to ankle wraps, uniforms to laundry detergent, and score sheets to stop clocks, farm products can be found in every play. Agriculture's role in sporting equipment has evolved along with the sports themselves. For example, footballs, or pigskins, were originally made of pig's bladders blown up like balloons. Needless to say, the smell needed some improvement, so they covered them with four pieces of cowhide. The football evolved again when the pig bladder was replaced with rubber, but agriculture had a role in that too. Cornstarch is used to coat the molds for rubber and even the synthetic materials used to make today's more affordable footballs. So whether you're a player or a spectator, National Agriculture Week is time to celebrate the thousands of everyday objects that are possible because of Illinois farmers. For the Champaign County Farm Bureau, I'm Karen Hertz.
Karen Hertz's comments are her own. They reflect her opinions and do not necessarily reflect those of the station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing at the elevator there in Lexington now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon.
Bill, I was looking at the forecast, and you're not all that far north, but I did fail to mention this during the forecast just prior to the news today, that there is a winter storm warning that's in effect for much of northern Illinois today. That's generally along a line north of I-80 until midnight for locally heavy snow there, a snow advisory in effect for portions of northeastern Illinois and northwestern Indiana. That until midnight tonight. Did you get much rain over the last several days and over the weekend?
Well, all told there, we had around an inch and 6/10 to an inch and 9/10. Not as much as you guys did down in Champaign, but nice rain, and we'll take what we can get. We could use some more as we move forward.
My guess is that your soils are still looking pretty dry after that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it soaked it up pretty good, so like I say, we'll take it. It sure did help. So.
Farmers disappointed in the last several days of trade?
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you, it's a good thing the basketball games are on because the guys, the cash buyers, I think, would be looking for something to do here. It's just this market today just really brought things to a screeching halt, and I think that we should see some basis improvement if this continues. We've got several things that spread the widen out, which makes the basis do a little bit more work, and we've gone down to these lower levels, plus we have the farmers out, you know, looking at other things besides selling grain right now.
Yeah, basis to Decatur holding up, you expect it to narrow, or has it started to do that just yet?
Just started to see a little bit the last couple of days here.
And you hear anything from the river and how things have opened up and what kind of exports we're looking at?
The river's a little bit stronger probably than the processor bit as far as coming in. The lack of barges still is helping the river bases improve a little bit.
And your bids there today?
For cash corn, $1.98, new crop $2.24, cash beans $5.42, and new crop $5.72.
We appreciate you being with us, Bill.
Thanks.
Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with ag meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Champaign School Board is holding a special meeting tomorrow night to look at new potential sites for a Northside grade school. But new school board president Margie Skirbin says there's no guarantee of choosing an alternative to a site at Staley Road and Bradley Avenue on the west end of town. That site has come under criticism for being too far away from Champaign's predominantly African-American neighborhoods. The first-degree murder trial of Maurice Legrone Jr. is in recess, so the judge can rule on the admissibility of some evidence in the case. Prosecutors and defense lawyers plan to meet with the judge in DeWitt County this afternoon to discuss whether to admit statements made by the mother of the three children Legrone is accused of killing. U.S. Senator Barack Obama and other advocates for homeless veterans are pressing for more federal funding. Obama says those who could be helped include as many as 38,000 in the senator's hometown of Chicago. The Illinois State Board of Education has voted to ban the sale of junk food in elementary and middle schools. Governor Rob Blagojevich urged the board last fall to bar the snacks to help keep children healthier. The Indiana Workforce Development Agency is starting from scratch to develop an online job bank. The state had been working on a contract with Monster Government Solutions, but now officials say they want to redesign the project and take new bids. Northfield, Illinois-based Kraft Foods is selling its Milk-Bone dog treats and other brands to Del Monte Foods for about $580 million. Kraft says selling the Milk-Bone brand will allow the company to better focus on its core products. An Indiana native who became known for his poems about the American West has died after a 9-month battle with pancreatic cancer. Ken Brewer died yesterday at age 64 in Providence, Utah. Brewer was named Utah Poet Laureate in 2003 after a long academic career. His books include The Place in Between and Lake's Edge. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather we've had here over the past several days. Kind of a rough skate in the Springfield area and parts of the Midwest, especially over the weekend.
Right. The severe aspect of the weather appears to be over now that the cooler air is setting in a little bit more in depth, and with the cooler weather, the threat of severe storms diminishes, but we still have some other weather to take care of. We've got some snow across the northern tier of counties in Illinois right now, a weak low-pressure system over central Illinois moving on eastward. That'll go by. Things will be partly cloudy with a few flurries in the rest of the state late today and tonight, and the outlook for the week really is below normal temperatures, so that ought to mitigate or at least reduce the chances of severe weather. The next wet weather period for the local area comes on Tuesday, Monday night, Tuesday, mostly Tuesday, another system coming by from the southwest. And that looks like it could be snow for a fair amount of northern Illinois, but I think southern Illinois will see rain and maybe a few thundershowers with that.
Takes care of the near term. National Weather Service has come out with some longer term forecasts that will run us through the planting season.
Yes, it will run us April, May, June forecast is in from the National Weather Service. And on temperatures, it's stratified. That is, it's cool in the northern tier of states and warm in the south. Now, that's a normal configuration, but in this case, the intensity of the differences is a little abnormal. So we're cooler than normal in the north, warmer than normal in the south. As for precipitation, precipitation is forecast to be above normal only in North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and everywhere south of there about normal through most of the Midwest, and then dry in the southern plains, and that's a major story coming in the southern plains, I think, with the dryness. That's the picture for the three-month period, and I think it looks pretty good.
And then lastly, we won't talk to you for a couple of weeks. I guess it'll be April when we finally get back.
Right, it will be April. I'll be in Egypt for 2 weeks doing the Nile bit, but really going over there to see a total eclipse of the sun on March 29th in northwest Egypt, where I think we'll see the best weather. We follow that sort of thing around our household, and so that's our trip for the season. and we'll be gone for those 2 weeks, and we'll be watching the weather, though, back here, and we'll be back in April.
Oh, you have fun, and I mean that. Have a lot of fun over
I'm
there. We'll miss you.
To it.
All right, thanks much.
Uh-huh.
Pete Levitt joined us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons. We'll miss him over the next couple of weeks as he makes a trip overseas to Egypt. That is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49. That for our first in-depth look at the marketplace with the pre-opening Commodity Market Report. Your host of that program is Dave Dickey, the Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, wishing you a great afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.